with the 14th and 15th pick in the NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select.
You're listening to the Journey to the Draft podcast, presented by AAA.
Every athlete has a journey. Focus on the game. Let us worry about getting you there. Auto repair, roadside assistance, and auto insurance. Start your journey at AAA.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA. I am Alex Smith, and I'm joined by the one, the only, Mr. Fran Duffy. Fran, good to be back on with you.
Yeah, 100%, Alex. Happy to be talking about Senior Bowl week. Really excited to get down to Mobile.
Absolutely. So we're just back from the Shrine game down in St. Pete. A really good chance for someone like me who doesn't watch the film the way that Fran does. A really good chance to see these players up close in person and a really fun week down there in St. Pete. We will have our Shrine game recap podcast, which includes a terrific one-on-one interview with Tony Pauline. That will be on the site, so be sure to check that out. And while you're checking that out, be sure to go and rate, comment, subscribe to all of our Eagles podcasts across all of our different channels, whether it's Journey to the Draft, Eagles Insider, Eagles Live, or Fran's Eagle Eye podcast. Be sure to rate, comment, subscribe, and let us know what you think of those shows. And for today's podcast, Fran, it's going to kind of be the same format that we did before the Shrine game. We're not going to go too into detail with all of our different segments, but we will go position by position and look at some of these players. And what would you say overall about this Senior Bowl group, looking at it on film?
You know, looking at this group as a whole, I think that there are certain areas of strength for sure in this game. I think when you look at the cornerback position, certainly a ton of players that you can look at and say, wow, there's a ton of talent that's going to be in the first and second round, not even counting the guys that didn't go to the game or were not allowed to go to the game because of their junior eligibility. A really good group of corners that are going to be in Mobile. I think if you look at the offensive line group, this tackle class is not very good, and it's not very good for the Senior Bowl, but there are a lot of players, Alex, that will be able to line up and play guard at the next level and play it at a high level. I think there's a handful of starting quality guards playing in this game this week. I think when you look at the defensive line, there's a lot of edge rushers that ended up dropping out. You know, Tack McKinley from UCLA, a lot of people were excited to see. People were excited to see potentially a Tim Williams from Alabama, a Taco Charlton from Michigan. All three of those guys did end up pulling out. But when you look at some names that we're going to talk about soon coming up on the show, I think that there's a lot of guys to be excited about. The running back position, I think there's a couple names to be excited about. So certainly some areas of strength overall in this game.
Friend, very nice job there not to give away any names.
Of course.
That's a very great tease and a very professional move from a podcast veteran sitting across from me here. But Fran, before we get into draft buzz, just one other note that we want to talk about here. It is, of course, mock draft season. We start to see mock drafts coming out left and right. And a very interesting one that we saw just this morning, Daniel Jeremiah, NFL.com, his first mock draft. His first mock draft is one that I think a lot of Eagles fans are really going to like. He has the Eagles at number 15, which means, I guess that means they would have lost the coin toss.
Unfortunately, yes.
Unfortunately, so they lose the coin toss there. But at number 15, the Eagles take Mike Williams, the wide receiver, out of the University of Clemson.
Now, there's one big thing here, and everyone's going to say, oh, there's no way Mike Williams is going to be there at 15. He has Corey Davis going in the top 10.
Right.
And it's really interesting because he's probably the first big-name draft analyst that has slated Corey Davis ahead of Mike Williams. I'm kind of there with them. You know, I love both players. I love Mike Williams. I love Corey Davis.
But they're different players.
But they're different kinds of players. Obviously, similarly built in terms of their size and their length. But Mike Williams is a much more physically imposing. I mean, he's almost 230 pounds. He's 225. He's not, a burner down the field, but he's built like a Dez Bryant. He's that physical yards after catch guy that can pull away in the open field, but also just consistently wins in those contested catch situations. Corey Davis, much more polished. You know, he's probably a little bit of a better athlete getting in and out of breaks, but he's also a little bit more polished. Corey Davis is a guy that I'm really, really excited about. Both players. So, whether it's Corey Davis, whether it's Mike Williams, I think the wide receiver options are certainly going to be there if the Eagles decide to go that route with the 14th or 15th pick.
Fran, I'm just curious what your take is when you're looking at those two players in Mike Williams and Corey Davis, the level of competition that they play against, one at Clemson, one at Western Michigan. Does that make any kind of difference to you when you're evaluating the film?
No, because to me, when you're looking at certain and this goes across all positions, you know, whether Corey Davis is wearing a helmet that's USC, that's Texas, that's Clemson, or Alabama, or Western Michigan, or Drake University, he's that doesn't affect how well he runs his routes. It doesn't affect how explosive he is off the line of scrimmage. It doesn't affect how well he's able to make uncontested catches. That doesn't affect how he is after the catch, how he looks with the ball in his hands. So there are certain things where you look at and say, well, regardless of who he's lining up against, that's a pretty good play. That's a good trait that you can check the box off with a guy like Corey Davis. And similarly with Mike Williams, obviously there are going to be plays where Mike Williams, if Mike Williams played in Western Michigan, he probably would have put up pretty crazy numbers because he would have out-muscled so many defenders in the MAC on a weekly basis like he did in the ACC and even in the national title game against Alabama. But when you look at those kinds of plays where it's just a big guy just out-muscling someone that's a smaller at the college level, yeah, you kind of take that in consideration. But there are a lot of traits you can take away from watching those guys regardless of who they're lining up against.
All right, and one other mock draft that we want to touch on here, Mel Kiper. ESPN has the Eagles taking Quincy Wilson. What do you think about that pick, Fran?
Well, I think that there's a ton of corner. We mentioned it earlier, a ton of corners in this draft. And when you look at all of the names that are going to be thrown around, you're going to hear so many with the Eagles. You know, whether it's Quincy Wilson, there's guys that are in this Senior Bowl that we'll talk about soon, but there's guys like Cordrea Tankersley from Clemson. There's Tease Tabor, Wilson's teammate from Florida. There's Kevin King from Washington. There's Adoree Jackson from USC. There's, you know, Sidney Jones from Washington as well. A lot of guys that are really kind of in that first round discussion, including some of the names we're going to see next week in Mobile.
Yeah, Tease Tabor is a guy that I think I've heard the Eagles kind of link to a little bit here from different outlets across, you know, from far and wide. But Quincy Wilson, this is really the first time I'm hearing his name. How do you compare him to Tabor?
I think Tabor is a little bit more physically gifted. And it's interesting because I think a lot of analysts are kind of waffling. Is Wilson the better player or is Tabor? When I watch the two, I think Tabor is the better player right now, and I've got to do a lot more work on both guys. I got a little bit of a taste early in the season before both declared. I wanted to wait until they declared to do a full workup on them. But off my initial watch, I liked Tabor a little bit more than Wilson.
All right, we have plenty to get to in today's podcast, so let's jump right into Draft Buzz.
Now it's time for Draft Buzz.
All right, it is indeed time for Draft Buzz. We're going to go position by position looking at the Senior Bowl rosters, both the North and the South teams. Fran, let's start out at the all-important quarterback position. Of course, last year's group of QBs, a really good one. Obviously, you had Carson Wentz down there, who the Eagles took at number two, and then Dak Prescott, who, although didn't have the best week of practice when we watched him down there, he ended up being the most outstanding player of the actual Senior Bowl game. So some really good quarterback prospects this year. Let's look at the list this year and start off with a guy in Nate Peterman. I know he's someone that you've kind of been really excited about throughout the season.
Yeah, I think that he's been the guy, the clear-cut number one senior quarterback from day one for me. You know, back when I first watched him this season, earlier this fall, very early on in September, I watched two or three of his first four games, and I said, this guy is playing at a higher level than anybody in terms of being a pro prospect at the senior in the senior class at the quarterback position. What I like about Peterman is he's willing to turn it loose. He's not a guy that is scared to make those tight window throws. He comes from a pro-style passing game at Pitt. He's accurate. He's repetitively accurate. Shows good ball placement in every area of the field. He throws with touch. He's a good decision maker. Now, the downside is that he's a little bit of he's got to see it before he throws it, not a true anticipation thrower yet at this point, and he's a little bit on the shorter side at just about 6'2". But when I look at Nate Peterman and compare him to some of the other seniors in this quarterback class, to me it's not even close in terms of being an NFL prospect, and Peterman to me is the guy that's going to stand out most this week at practice.
Then a couple of other interesting names here to look at the quarterback position. When you look at C.J. Beathard out of Iowa, he's listed at 6'2", 215, and then another interesting name, Davis Webb, the quarterback from Cal, who filled in once Jared Goff was drafted number one overall.
Yeah, so when you look at C.J. Beathard, Beathard comes from a pro-style offense, much like Nate Peterman. He's a timing and rhythm quarterback. He's got solid physical tools, but I do want to see him throw with better accuracy. That's one of the big differences right now between Peterman and Beathard, is that Beathard's just a little bit erratic at times. He holds on to the ball way too long at times, too. It took a lot of hits. He's missed a lot of throws, left a lot of plays on the field because of how long he held on to the football. So there are some issues there with C.J. Beathard that I think are going to ultimately prevent him from becoming a starting quarterback in the NFL. But I do see a guy that can stick as an NFL backup. And then the other guy, you mentioned Davis Webb. it's interesting. A lot of people were all about Davis Webb early in the season. All this guy has ever done in his career, and good kid. I'm not knocking him. All he's ever done is lost quarterback jobs because he started at Texas Tech. He lost the job as a true freshman to Baker Mayfield, okay. who then transferred. Right. Then he lost the job to Patrick Mahomes, who then took over and is now still the quarterback there. And then Davis Webb transfers and is able to take over
he's
the starting job for
shot,
Cal. Hey, and look, I watched Davis Webb. And there are some tools there. I mean, he's 6'5", 230. He's got NFL size. I like his arm. I've seen some people say he's got a better natural arm than Jared Goff, who obviously was the number one pick last year. Davis Webb's got some physical tools. I do like his touch to all areas of the field. But like Jared Goff, and he came for the offense that he played in Texas Tech and the one he played in this year at Cal, virtually the same. It's very, very similar. He's going to need to work on a lot of things from a mental side of playing the quarterback position from the pocket. So that's going to be the learning curve for him. That's why it's going to be a big week for him down in Mobile.
Yeah, that air raid style offense. We've seen it with Goff and his adjustment to the NFL this year. So it'll be really interesting to see how a guy like Webb transitions to the next level. All right, Fran, let's move on to the running back position. This is a pretty deep group, and it's probably a position that the Eagles may look to address at some point in the offseason, whether it's in the draft or in free agency. And some interesting names we're going to see down here, down in Mobile, Alabama. Let's start off with Kareem Hunt. What is it you like about his game?
What I like about Kareem Hunt, and look, when I watched him this year, I've watched him each of the past three seasons, Alex, because he's kind of been on the national radar since he was a redshirt sophomore. And so at 5'10 and a half, 237 pounds, I see a guy who's kind of changed his body over the course of the first three seasons. Because when I watched him when he was younger, he reminded me in some ways of a Giovanni Bernard because of his quickness, his ability to make people miss. And I thought, yeah, this guy could be a nice little change of pace back with his quickness, his ability to get in and out of cuts. But then he put on a lot of weight going into his junior year last year, 2015, and he looked a little out of place, it was a little disappointing. He wasn't a full-time starter. He did end up leading the team in rushing. But then I watched him this year. He ran with power. He made defenders miss. He ran through first contact. He still had a little bit of that wiggle. He's a decisive runner. Very few negative runs. Very rarely was he tackled behind the line of scrimmage. Just a really decisive runner with good ball security. Very rarely did he put the football on the ground. I think I have him down for one fumble in 14 games I've studied of him in three seasons. So Kareem Hunt's a guy that has good size at 237 pounds, and I like the way that he runs between the tackles. He's not an outstanding athlete in terms of his explosiveness, but he's slippery, man. He's got the ability to make people miss. So Kareem Hunt's a guy that I think is the number one back going down here to the Senior Bowl.
Couple of other guys that should be really fun to watch this week. How about Jamal Williams, the running back out of Brigham Young? And then Danelle Pumphrey out of San Diego State, a guy who put up ridiculous numbers here this year.
Yeah, so Williams is a guy that I think a lot of people in the draft community, meaning online and the media, are very, very excited about in terms of what he has done this past season for BYU. He missed all of last season because of an off-the-field issue, so he came back this year as a senior and came back like gangbusters, 6 foot, 215 pounds. I like his physicality inside. I like his ability to run between the tackles, and I think he can fill in as a third down back because he can catch the ball out of the backfield, and I think he's a really good blocker as well. But the thing that I don't like about him right now in terms of being a starter is I don't think, number one, that he's got the ability to consistently make defenders miss, and number two, I think his vision is just okay. I think there are times where he has the ability to bust off a 20-yard run, and instead it only goes for 10 or 12. I think there are times where he leaves a lot of yards on the field just because he's a little bit indecisive at the point of attack. And then Pumphrey, you mentioned Pumphrey from San Diego State. He's not built in any way, shape, or form like Williams. And Williams is, again, 6 foot, 215. I've got Donnell Pumphrey at 5'8", under 170 pounds. We'll get that official weigh-in next Tuesday. But Pumphrey is a guy who's really, really physical and really, really instinctive. So even though he is tiny, and I mean like for a running back, he is very, very small. So that's going to knock him, and he's not going to be taken before the later rounds of this draft. But he's got really good vision. He catches the ball well. He needs to improve his pass protection if he's going to stick in the NFL. And obviously at his size, has trouble running through first contact. But I like his quickness. I like his vision. And then also a guy that you got to see at the Shrine game this past week, Devion Smith. Seems like he's going to get the call up to Mobile for the Senior Bowl, and I love Devion Smith. We talked about him last week in the Shrine Game preview as well.
Yeah, and he's a guy, you just mentioned about Jamal Williams, about his vision. I think that Devion Smith's a guy whose vision is very good, and he put that on display down at the Shrine Game. So a very interesting group of running backs to look at here. Joe Williams was another guy that you had mentioned, but overall a pretty good group that we're going to see down there in Mobile. Let's move on now to the wide receiver position, and a lot of slot type receivers in this group, Fran, but some interesting names as well. Let's start off on the outside, and what do you like about Josh Reynolds?
Well, Josh Reynolds is built a little bit differently than some of these other receivers that we're going to see down here at this game. At over 6 foot three, at 191 pounds, he's got what I think is going to end up being in the high 4.4 speed range at the NFL Combine later in February. Reynolds is really, really dynamic, and his really good plays, if you took his top 30 plays and matched them up against other receivers, you'd think that he's up there as a potential first-round pick. He kind of reminds me, and the Eagles fans are going to say, oh, man, he reminds you of this guy. He reminds me of Reuben Randle coming out of LSU. I really liked Reuben Randle coming out of LSU because he had a lot of those flashes because of his length and his speed, yes, his ability to go up and get it. He was a second-round pick. I think Reynolds has similar potential. But the guy that I love the most and is really, to me, is the number one receiver that's going to be down there. I think he could play inside, and I think he can play outside. That's Taywan Taylor at 5'11", 198 pounds. Taylor's a guy that every time I've watched him, I've come away thinking this guy is going to be an NFL starter and at the very least is going to be like a solid player. I think he's got a very high ceiling, though, as well. He's a really good all-around player. If he takes the next step moving into the next level, because every year I've watched him, he's gotten better as a route runner. He's gotten better against press coverage. He's gotten better at making contested catches. He's a good athlete. He's a leaper that goes up and fights for the football. He's competitive as a blocker. And like I said, he's improved every year as a route runner. So his competitiveness, great yards after catch guy as well. I really like Taywan Taylor. To me, he's the best receiver at this game.
Interesting you say he's the best receiver because, Fran, I've heard a lot about Cooper Kupp out of Eastern Washington, of course, playing at the FCS level, but he's put up some monster numbers. So let's talk about him for a second. He's listed right now at 6'2", 215. We'll see where he gets weighed in down there. But he seems like he's a guy who has the physical skills to be a pretty good player at the NFL level.
Yeah, really what stands out about Cooper Kupp is his ball skills. You know, he's a really natural receiver, really good at the catch point, really just smooth at reeling the ball in away from his frame. I think he's more quick than he is fast. He's not a really explosive downfield threat, but I think he's got the ability to get in and out of breaks. The question with him is, and every team's going to have to answer this, do they think that he can win consistently on the outside as a starting NFL receiver outside the numbers? If not, he's going to be a kind of a bigger slot receiver, and that's fine. That, you know, we've seen lots of players. Jordan Matthews is a great example of a guy that can fit that kind of role, and Cooper Kupp can be that kind of player. Again, at 6'2", over 210 pounds, reports say he could be in the mid-4.4s. I think he'll probably run a little bit slower than that, but I think that Cooper Kupp is a guy that's really, really intriguing. Anytime you run good routes and you've got good ball skills, you're going to stick in the NFL.
Amara Darbo out of Michigan is a guy who's actually listed as the exact same as Cooper Kupp is, 6'2", 215, so a physical body type. How do those two compare as players, though, Fran?
I think Darbo is probably a little bit craftier of a route runner than Kupp is at this point. Really savvy player, knows how to play the position. His level of athleticism, like Kupp, is what's going to determine how high he will go and how high his ceiling is once he reaches the NFL. That said, I think that he does all the little things well. I think he's going to play in the NFL. I think he's going to develop into a nice starter. I like Amara Darbo.
Couple of other guys who are probably more slot receiver types. When you look at a Trent Taylor out of Louisiana Tech, another Louisiana Tech prospect who's coming up and showing up here on film. So when you look at his game and then you compare it on the other side to a guy like Ryan Switzer out of North Carolina at just 5'10", what do you like about those two players?
Well, I think both guys you're going to look at and say, man, they are the prototype slot receiver in terms of the, you know, insert name here, you know, whether it's you know, guys like Danny Amendola, Wes Welker, you know, all those guys, Cole Beasley, I mean, yeah. All these guys, very, very reminiscent of all of them. They're both small, they're both in that 5'8", 5'9" range, they're both under 190 pounds, they're both quick in and out of breaks. I think I like Taylor a little bit more than Switzer. I think a lot of people really like Switzer. I like Taylor a little bit more, I think, but you're talking about two guys that are really quick in and out of breaks. I think Taylor's a better route runner, but I think Switzer is a better punt returner, and so people are going to look at that in a different way in terms of what they need for their team. I think Switzer certainly brings value as a punt returner at the next level.
Then one last name here, Fran, that we're going to look at the wide receiver position. This was a guy that Tony Pauline actually mentioned when we were previewing the guys that we were going to see down here in Mobile, and a very productive receiver for the Syracuse Orange, and that's Amba Edetawu.
Yeah, he's 6'2", 202 pounds, a first-year starter for them. He transferred from Maryland and went into that Bear Raid, a version of the Baylor offense at Syracuse, playing for Dino Babers, and was a third-team All-American, a first-team All-ACC, was one of the leading receivers in college football. And when you look at Etatawa, really what it comes down to is you have a kid who's 6'2", so he's got some length to him, but also has vertical speed. I think he's going to run in the low to mid 4.4s, possibly in the 4.43, 4.44 range, and I think he's got the ability to be a vertical threat. The question is, can he be consistent with some of the other parts of his game, and can he be more consistent at the catch point? Because that's been an area where he has not been strong over the course of his career. Even going back to Maryland, I went back and watched some of his Maryland tape as well, just to see if some of those same issues cropped up. And you saw not just the inability to track the deep ball at times, but then also going up and making some of those contested catches. Anytime there was contact involved, some of his success rate severely dropped. So that's one of the things you're going to look at with Etatawa, but I think he can be a viable deep threat in the NFL.
All right, let's move on here right along to the tight end position. A pretty deep group in this year's draft, and actually a pretty good group of guys that we're going to see down in Mobile. The first guy we're going to talk about, Fran, is O.J. Howard, who in the last two national championship games has come up with some huge plays for the Crimson Tide. Seems to kind of be that playmaking tight end, but what do you see from him when you watch him on film?
O.J. Howard, it feels like he's been in college football for like 11 years now at this point. I remember when he was a true freshman and he busted off like a 75-yard touchdown against LSU running down the sideline. I thought, who is this guy? And he's a five-star recruit at tight end, and he hasn't looked back. I mean, he's gotten better as a blocker every single year. He's not a true mauler, but he could hold his own at the point of attack, and you could tell he's really worked on that facet of his game every single year. So you're talking about a guy who can be a complete three down on the line of scrimmage player, but also be moved out in the slot, be moved out wide as an X receiver and win in space. And I think that's why O.J. Howard, you're going to be talking about him in the first round. I think he's probably one of the best overall prospects at this game. Love him after the catch. I like his speed. I like his athleticism. One of the most complete players at the game regardless.
A couple of other tight ends to take a look at here, Fran. How about Evan Engram, 6'3" out of Ole Miss, and then Gerald Everett, a South Alabama guy at 6'4".
Yeah, Evan Engram is really explosive. Dynamic receiving option at the tight end position. Really kind of an oversized receiver at 6'3", 233 pounds. Has the ability to get down the seam. I like his ball skills a lot. Very good ball skills. The ability to go up, contort his body, and adjust to the ball mid-flight to reel in passes away from his frame. He's got really soft hands. He just doesn't offer value much as a point of attack blocker, and that's really where you're going to weigh what his value is compared to some of these other players. But Engram certainly can make an impact in the passing game. And then Gerald Everett, to a lower extent, is similar. And he actually played his games in Mobile, okay, at Ladd Peebles for South Alabama at 6'3", 237 pounds. An interesting player. You know, he's got the ability to line up in a number of different spots, including at fullback in the backfield. I like his athleticism. Really good after the catch. I think he's got a chance of being a top 100 selection. I think he could go on the second day of the draft. And as a developmental starter, he does need to improve as a route runner, though.
One last tight end here, Fran. What's the story on Jeremy Sprinkle? Obviously a big body, physical tight end. Has had some off-the-field issues as well, but what do you want to see from him this week?
Yeah, he's only a one-year starter, obviously taking over for Hunter Henry, who was a second-round pick a year ago. I don't think Sprinkle's going to get taken as high, but I do think that he's got reliable hands. I think he's kind of a savvy route runner. He's a little bit stiff in his lower half, Alex, so he's not as athletic as some of these other guys we've talked about, but he's a really good blocker, really knows what he's doing in the run game. He's a good pass protector as well, was used one-on-one. I remember I watched the Texas A&M game against their two stud defensive ends, Miles Garrett and Deshaun Hall, and Sprinkle was asked to block those guys one-on-one at times in pass protection, and he more than held his own. So I think Sprinkle can do a lot of things at the line of scrimmage as a blocker, and every team's going to value that differently, and he's a solid receiver overall in the passing game.
All right, let's move up front into the trenches here. Let's talk about the offensive linemen. The tackle group, maybe not as strong as it was in years past, but Fran, I know you mentioned right off the top of the podcast, a pretty good group of guards that we're going to see here this week. So when we look up front, let's start off with a guy from Western Michigan, Taylor Moten. Is he at the top of the list of these offensive linemen for you?
If he's not at the top, he's pretty close. And I'm really excited to watch all these guys kind of in person and get a better feel. But when I watch Taylor Moten, the first game I watched was their season opener against Northwestern, and he manhandled everybody on the Northwestern defensive line. So I thought, all right, well, you know what, let me go and I'll watch another game. They played Illinois a couple weeks later. Illinois's got a stud defensive end in DeJuan Smoot, who's actually going to be at this game as well. So this is a great matchup. Let me watch this one-on-one matchup. Moten was the right tackle this year, and he's going to be matched up on the defensive end Smoot in a lot of situations. Let me watch it. he handled Smoot down in, down out. He got beat a couple times early on, but after that, it was his game. So Moten is a guy, I love his toughness. I love his feet on contact. He never stops running his feet in the run game or in the pass game. He's got really strong hands at the point of attack as well. He needs to improve some of his, improve his hands at the point of attack in terms of pass protection and timing in terms of his punch. But I think that he's got the ability definitely to play guard. And he'll prove this week whether or not he can play tackle. I know he's listed as a guard for the game, I'm pretty sure. But I think he will get some opportunities to play outside as well.
All right, let's run through a couple of other names here. Dorian Johnson, I know, is a player that Tony Pauline is pretty high on. And then you have to break down Forrest Lamp, because if you look, you know, if you go through the draft Twitter, you'll see a lot of people saying that they really like the way that Forrest Lamp plays. So what do you think about those two guys?
Well, Dorian Johnson coming into the year was my favorite interior offensive lineman in the country. I think he's got legitimate NFL starter written all over him, very well-rounded player. Even though he's not a great athlete, I think he's good enough to be effective in any scheme. Really disciplined kid, played good with practice, good technique. If he can get a little bit stronger, I think he's going to be set. I think that guy is going to be a future NFL starter. And then Forrest Lamp is a guy that I was turned on to probably around mid-season. I want to say like mid-October, late October. 6'3", 296 pounds, very unassuming kid. Played tackle, played some guard early in his career. And I watched, and I'm like, all right, I'll watch one game. And it's like Moten. I loved him. I thought, wow, this kid, he blew me away because of his nastiness, because of his versatility. That was against Louisiana Tech. So I said, you know what? Let me watch him against Alabama. You know, Jonathan Allen and Tim Williams and Ryan Anderson and all those guys they've got up front. Dude, he handled Alabama. Like, he was really, really impressive. To me, he's got all the key traits you want in an NFL offensive lineman. He's smart. He's tough. He plays under control. He uses his hands well. He's not a standout athlete like Dorian Johnson, but he will need to get – and he does need to get a little bit stronger. But I have no doubt he's going to stick in the NFL. I think he's more of a guard than he is a tackle, but – like some other guys we've seen in the past year from smaller programs, and it's not like Western Kentucky's an FCS program, I think that Forrest Lamp has a chance to go down here in Mobile on a large stage and really help himself.
Let's look at a couple of interior linemen here, and more from some of the more well-known programs that we'll see down here. Apologies if I pronounce the name wrong. Ethan Pochitz, the center out of LSU. And then Danny Isadora, friend, I know is a guy that you like a lot, the guard from Miami.
Yeah, and Pochitz I like a lot too. You know, Pochitz is a guy that is 6'6", 316 pounds. You don't really see guys playing the center position, kind of like Max Turk from a year ago from USC that we didn't get a chance to see at this game because of an injury. But Pochitz has great length for the center spot, has also played guard throughout his career. A lot of people think he's got even the feet to potentially even play tackle at the next level. So you're talking about a guy with great versatility. I think he's going to be an interior offensive lineman. I love his athleticism. I love his competitiveness. He's been a three-year starter for them. He's not super powerful. He does need to get a little bit stronger. And at times, he gets in trouble because of his pad level. He can play a little bit high at times. And when you play high as an offensive lineman, that's where you get into trouble getting driven off the ball. But a guy that has great athleticism, great competitiveness, and that versatility, always, always big. So Ethan Pochitz is a guy I really like. And then I had a chance recently to watch Danny Isadora. Not as versatile as Pochitz. He's only played guard for the Miami Hurricanes, but he's a three-year starter inside. And he does everything right, man. I mean, whether he's driving people off the ball, whether it's using his hands, whether he's got clean feet and pass protection, he's tough. I really like everything about Danny Isadora. Again, another guy that I think is going to be a starter inside a guard in the NFL.
Yeah, and if you look at the Eagles roster, the way that it's constructed right now, they did take Isaac Seumalo, of course, in the third round last year as an interior offensive lineman, but certainly a spot the Eagles could look to add some depth. So really promising to hear some of the names that we have on this list here down in Mobile. Let's move on to a couple of other offensive linemen, a couple of other interior guys. Isaac Asiata out of Utah, and yes, he is related to Matt Asiata, the running back for the Minnesota Vikings, and then a Temple guy in Deion Dawkins, Fran.
Yeah, Isaac Asiata is kind of a mauler up front, and for lack of a better term, I could go other directions there with that term, but a guy who's played tackle, he's played guard, really gets after it in the run game, tries to embarrass opponents, and I love his strength at the point of attack, over 330 pounds. So one of the bigger offensive linemen we're going to see down here at this game. Kind of reminds me of Washington Redskins left guard Sean Laval in that he just tries to kill people. He's not a great athlete. He's not a natural bender, but I love his strength. I love his nastiness. And then Deion Dawkins is a little bit different of a player. He's listed as a guard. I think he can play some tackle too. I think he does have the ability to play tackle at the NFL level, a 6'4", 322 pounds. down. So people are going to look at that and say, okay, he's got some versatility. I like his feet. I think he's got light feet. I think he's a natural bender, and he's got the ability to move people. He plays a little bit of a mean streak. He's got athletic upside. I think he looks the part of a starting NFL offensive lineman.
Two more guys to look at really quickly here, friend. Nico Siragusa, a big guy listed at 330 pounds, an interior player from San Diego State. And then the final name that we're going to look at here, very interesting name, Antonio Garcia. Don't hear many people talking about him right now, but an interesting guy out of Troy.
Yeah, when you look at Siragusa, who's not related to the Goose, Tony Siragusa, by the way.
Important to note.
But 6'4", 326 pounds. Like Danny Isadora from Miami, he's only played guard at the college level, was a three-year starter at left guard for San Diego State. And what I like about Siragusa is two things. One, his competitiveness, and also I like his experience, and you could see that experience in pass protection. He handles stunts and games really, really well up front, is never fooled by what defense are bringing at him from a pressure standpoint. He's not a great athlete. You question his versatility. He's a little bit undersized, but I think he's got the ability to turn into an NFL starter. And then I didn't get a chance to watch Alex Antonio Garcia until recently. 6'6". He's going to be in that 300-pound range. You know, he's a little bit light. He kind of, if you squint hard enough, he kind of reminds me of the Dallas Cowboys left tackle, Tyron Smith. And I don't say that lightly. Obviously, he's not the level of prospect right now. Tyron Smith was a top 10 pick. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying Garcia is going to be that guy. But in terms of the way he moves, in terms of the way that he plays, his playing style reminds me of Tyron Smith. He's really athletic. He gets after it. Much like Isaac Asiata, he tries to embarrass defenders at the point of attack. I love his nastiness. He's got great length. He's got really light feet. He does need to get a little bit stronger, and he does need to improve his hand use and pass protection, but I think he's got the ability to be a high-level NFL starter. So Antonio Garcia, to me, is probably the best pure tackle at this game. All the other guys we've talked about probably better fits inside with the ability maybe to step outside. I think Garcia is the best pure tackle at this game.
And it's always fun to watch some of these smaller school guys to see how they stack up against some of the bigger school prospects. Fran, take a breath really quickly because we're going to transition from offense over to the defensive side of the ball. Great job on the offensive side, of course. Let's move over to defense. We'll start out up front this time, and we'll start off on the defensive line. Couple interesting names to look at. First one's going to be Dwayne Smoot, who's listed as a defensive end out of the University of Illinois. And then an interesting name here, Deshaun Hall, who played opposite of Myles Garrett at Texas A&M.
Yeah, Smoot is a guy that really, really intrigues me. He's a two-year starter. You'll remember I really liked Jihad Ward last year out of Illinois, so I was excited to watch Smoot, and I really, really liked him as well. Good length. He's 6'3 and a half, 260 pounds. What I like most about him is his burst off the ball, and I think that he showed, especially as a junior, and I want to watch more this year because I didn't see it in some of the games that I watched. I told you that he got handled a little bit by Taylor Moten, but when I watched him as a junior, I saw a wide variety of pass rush moves, the ability to set up moves and counter once he was initially blocked. I saw the ability to win with his hands and not just rely on his burst or his power at the point of attack, which you need. You need to be able to win with your hands in the NFL, and I saw that from Smoot as an underclassman. So I'm excited to see him in this game and see how he does against top-level competition. And it's interesting that you introduced Deshaun Hall the way that you did, saying that he's the guy that plays opposite Myles Garrett, because I think that's how everyone kind of knows him. Mm-hmm. He's much more than just that guy. I like Deshaun Hall. He's got really good length at 6'6", 256 pounds, high motor kid, plays sideline to sideline. Like Smoot, like what I was saying with Smoot, I think he's got really good pass rush skill, knows how to use his hands, knows how to use his head to beat offensive linemen on a consistent basis, and he's a good, really good run defender as well. Now, does he have as high an upside in terms of being a Pro Bowl pass rusher? I don't know that he's quite there yet. I think overall his athleticism is probably just solid. He doesn't have a great burst off the line, but I do think he can turn into a solid NFL starter as a defensive end in a 4-3.
How about a couple of Ryans here, Fran? Ryan Anderson, the defensive end, and then Ryan Glasgow, who is the brother of Graham Glasgow, who was drafted by the Detroit Lions last year, actually ended up playing a pretty big role for them.
Yeah, Anderson has a lot of similarities to what I was saying about Deshaun Hall. He's a little bit smaller at 6'2", 258, so people think that he's going to be more of an outside linebacker in a 3-4. I do think he could put his hand on the ground and play in a 4-3, but a guy that knows how to use his hands, a good run defender, high motor kid, has been really productive for Alabama and a key part of what they do up front. So even though he's not as explosive as some of these other guys we're talking about. I think Anderson is really, really intriguing. And then when you look inside, I think Ryan Glasgow is a really intriguing player, a disruptor up front, wins more with power and strength than he does with quickness at the point of attack. But at 6'3", 295 pounds, has the ability to overpower defensive linemen, and a very well-rounded player, very competitive kid inside, relentless pass rusher getting after the quarterback. So Glasgow is a guy that really, really intrigues me as well. We'll see if he can live up to the legacy of his brother Graham from the Shrine Game and the Senior Bowl last year.
The legend of Graham Glasgow, especially at the Shrine Game last year, had such an amazing week that, of course, he got the invite to the Senior Bowl as well. A couple of other names to look at really quickly here, Fran. Montravius Adams, the big defensive tackle out of Auburn. And then Eddie Vanderdoes, another interesting name. What do you like about these two guys?
Yeah, it's interesting. Montravius Adams, when I watched him this year, he kind of reminds me in some ways of Benny Logan coming out of LSU, because right now I think he's built to be a one-gap player, but I think he also has the frame to be a two-gap player down the line. So you see a guy that has that scheme versatility. I like Adams, 6'3", 300 pounds. He's been a three-year starter at nose tackle for them, and to me he's kind of trapped in that three-tech body. He's got a mentality, the skill set of a nose tackle in either scheme. He just needs to get bigger and stronger. So Montravius Adams is a guy that's really intriguing to me. And then Eddie Vanderdoes, to me, is a plug-and-play guy in a 3-4 scheme. So you may not necessarily be talking about him for the Eagles, but he may plug in as a nose tackle in a 4-3 front as well. But I think he's got that like square refrigerator body, really good with his hands, really smart, good two-gap, a really good run defender, limited pass rusher. But Eddie Vanderdoes, who's a junior and is eligible to play in this game because he graduated from school early at 6'3", 305, is a really intriguing player as well.
So, Fran, from an Eagles fan's perspective here, when you look at that list of defensive linemen that we just talked about, which ones would you see as being the best potential fits in what Jim Schwartz likes to do up front?
Well, for the guys that we talked about, I think you look at both defensive ends, DeJuan Smoot and Deshaun Hall. I think you look at Montravius Adams. Of the guys we talked about, there are going to be other guys this game that I think are also viable. But when you look at those three guys, I think those are the three from what we talked about that would, you know, theoretically fit the best.
All right, we are moving right along here. Let's get into the linebacker position. Maybe not the strongest group of players overall, but looking at some of the names at this event, let's start off with the Temple guy and Hassan Reddick, who had a tremendous final season at Temple. I think he had something like 22.5 tackles for loss and something like 10.5 sacks to go with that as well. So, Fran, obviously a Temple product. What do you like about Reddick?
What I like about Reddick is his versatility. You know, he showed up as a corner, a walk-on cornerback, after being a running back and a safety at the high school level, showed up as a walk-on corner. Then he became a strong side linebacker in 2013. Then they said, you know what, let's put you a defensive end. So he's played a defensive end the last couple of years. But at 6'1", under 230 pounds, it's just not realistic to expect that he's going to be able to hold up as a defensive end. And it's interesting that they're listing him as an inside linebacker, because I kind of thought watching him, and we talked about this last week before this roster was announced, that I thought Reddick would be better fit as an inside linebacker, an off-the-ball player, and I think Reddick is that kind of guy. So very, very excited to see him in person play that kind of role. He did do that at times for Temple, depending on the opponent this past year and depending on the package that he was in, but he's a really good blitzer, obviously, because of his history as a pass rusher. The big thing you're going to see from him, how quickly does he see things, because it's a huge learning curve now that he's going to be seeing things more as a linebacker than he did as a defensive end with his hand in the dirt. So that's going to be the big learning curve there for Hassan Reddick, but a high motor kid, really good athlete as well.
And one other name to look at here, Fran, how about Brigham Young's Harvey Lange, listed at 6'3".
Yeah, he might come in a little bit smaller than that, but Lange is a guy that was initially going to go to the East-West Shrine Game and got called up late. Former running back, former Utah player as well. He's a little bit older of a prospect, started at Utah, now transferred to BYU. But what I like about Lange is his athleticism. I think he's got good range. In some ways, he kind of reminds me a little bit of James Onwalu, who you saw last week at the Shrine Game from Notre Dame. I think Lange has some similar skill sets, a little bit undersized, but has that range and that toughness downhill, most importantly.
All right, let's move back into the defensive secondary here. And maybe, Fran, as you mentioned, one of the most interesting groups to watch here at the Senior Bowl, and one of the best groups overall in this year's draft class. That's the cornerback position. And we'll start off with two names at the top, Desmond King and Tre'Davious White, maybe two of the most talented players down there.
Yeah, Desmond King was talked about as a top 10 pick in the spring and in the summer and really into the fall. I don't know that he's that kind of player, because at 5'10", and I think he's about 220, which is a pretty good size for a corner, 201, not not 220, but at 200 pounds, good size for a corner in terms of his bulk, but he's a little bit on the shorter side. You don't really see shorter corners go that high. But here's what I like about Desmond King. Number one, super, super competitive. He's a really good athlete. He's a really good run defender. He's got really good ball skills. A lot of the traits that stick out with corners that stick in the NFL, especially slot corners, he has. So really smart, really tough, really competitive. Like I said, I love his ball skills. Very, really well-rounded. And I think he could fit into any scheme. The question is every team's going to look at this differently. Can he play outside? Is he more of a slot player? I think he can play in the slot. He did that a little bit at Iowa, depending on the package. Some people may see him as a safety. I think he's a really fun player to watch, and I think he's going to be an NFL starter. It's just a matter of what position. And then Tre'Davious White from LSU. I love Tre'Davious White, man. I mean, this guy, to me, he could start on the outside, but I think he'd also play in the nickel as well. 5'11", 195 pounds, four-year starter for LSU, former teammate of Jalen Mills here with the Eagles. And Tre'Davious White, like Desmond King, instinctive. He's got great ball skills. I actually wrote in my notes that he lives on the island where screens go to die because he's such a great tackler down in the flat. I really like Tre'Davious White, and again, has that versatility. He's played inside, outside, and has some starts at safety throughout his career as well. I love his instincts. Tre'Davious White's one of the more complete players in the secondary in this draft.
One of the other big names at the cornerback position is Tennessee's Cam Sutton. So let's talk about him for a second here, Fran, and then the same thing for Michigan's Jordan Lewis.
Yeah, Cam Sutton at 5'11", 186 pounds, has been a four-year starter in the SEC at Tennessee. And what I like about Sutton is a lot of the same things we've talked about with some of these other guys. You know, I love his ball skills. I love his instincts. The number one, there's two things that separate Sutton from like a guy like Tre'Davious White. Number one, I don't think he's as explosive as White. So there's going to be questions about his long speed. And then number two, while he's aggressive and competitive against the run, he laid some guys out in the flat, but I think he needs to be more consistent as a tackler, and that's important in the Eagle scheme, as we know. They got to be able to tackle on the perimeter. So that's the one question with Sutton. If he can improve there, I think he's got the ability to be a starter on the outside or in the nickel. And then you talked about Jordan Lewis. I think he's a nickel corner all the way because of his size. Kind of reminds me in some ways, though, a former Tampa Bay Buck, Rondé Barber. I think he's a really good fit in terms of zone schemes, but he can also hang in man coverage as well. Love his ball skills, a really good run defender as well. Can he play in press coverage? How explosive is he down the field? Can he get beat vertically? But I do think he can fit as a nickel corner.
And Fran, when you're watching these corners down in Mobile, what are the drills that you kind of look at the most? Is it the one-on-ones? Do you want to see how they compete at the line? Or do you kind of like to see how they compete overall in a team setting?
Yeah, I want to see how they do in one-on-ones for sure, because you want to see how they look in man coverage. Because, you know, when they're in those one-on-one drills, they're not playing cover three, they're not playing quarters, they're not playing cover two, they're playing man. So I want to see how they look in press man, I want to see how they look in off man, how do they react to different route breaks, and how are they at playing the football down the field. And that's really what kind of gets me going with some of these corners is their ball skills, because that's kind of their lifeline at that position, is being able to play the football down the field. So that's certainly, when it comes down to what I'm looking for at these games, those one-on-one drills, and this kind of goes across the board, those one-on-one drills are really, really important.
Three more corners to look at really quick here to close out the position group. Marquez White, Chidobe Awuzie, and Rasul Douglas. What do you like about those guys?
You did a good job with Chidobe Awuzie.
We practiced it a couple times before we came on here, and I was worried that I might forget it while we were talking about the rest of the guys.
Didn't even think about it.
Thank you very
much. You rolled right through it. So it's interesting we did all these three guys, because I think they're three pretty different players. You know, Marquez White, I think, really fits in an off-coverage scheme. I do like his ability to get in and out of breaks. I think he really excels at driving on balls in front of him, and he really excels in terms of his quickness, but not the strongest kid, and his production has not been great at the college level. That's something that's kind of noteworthy as well. And then you look at Chidobe Awuzie, has played all over the place, and the coaches there have said that they think he can start at any position in an NFL secondary. I think he's probably more of that key cog in a secondary as opposed to a shutdown corner, but I think Awuzie can fit inside, he can fit outside, and I do like some of the things that he brings to the table. And then when you look at Rasul Douglas, he's a straight press corner to me all the way. 6'2", 203 pounds, really excels at the line of scrimmage, but you're talking about a guy who is actually from the area. He's from East Orange, New Jersey, up in North Jersey, but really excels in press coverage. What's interesting, though, is that they had him playing a lot of off, so you got to see him a little bit out of position, if you will, in terms of playing balls in front of him. He's not an explosive athlete, and like his former teammate, Daryl Worley, who was a mid-round pick of the Carolina Panthers last year, his ball skills, sometimes they look great, and sometimes he looks a little lost downfield. So I'm really excited to see Douglas in one-on-one drills down there in Mobile.
All right, Fran, the final position group here in today's Senior Bowl preview podcast. We look at the safety position and two names that really stand out the most to you, with the first being Justin Evans and the second player, Jonathan Ford. What makes these two the two standout guys in your view?
To me, what makes those guys stand out is that they're kind of like those, you know, when you talk about baseball prospects, he's a five-tool player. Mm-hmm. I think you look at these two guys, and they're five-tool players. I think both Jonathan Ford, who's Rudy Ford, and Justin Evans from Texas A&M, both guys have the ability to play in the deep middle of the field. They both have the ability to run the alley. They both can play man coverage in the slot. They've got good instincts. I like their ball skills. Both guys have some things they do need to work on. You know, I think Rudy Ford can improve his instincts a little bit in zone coverage. I think that Justin Evans can improve being a little bit more consistent of a tackler downhill, but he's physical and he's competitive. He does come down and he's not afraid to make a tackle. It's just finishing and making sure that he can be a little bit more consistent in that area. But both guys, I think, are players that you can look at and say, yeah, they can fit into NFL secondaries, really into a number of different roles. I like both guys as versatile players at the safety spot.
But both these guys seem to check all the boxes, to use another scouting term.
Yes.
Or at least most of them.
I think so.
All right, Fran, excellent stuff. Well, we went position by position, offense and defense, with Fran giving his scouting report on all these guys. It should be a really fun week down in Mobile, Alabama. We cannot wait to get down there and see these guys up close and in person. Fran, have you packed your bag yet? You ready to go?
It's not packed yet, but it won't take me long. You know me. I'm like already half packed mentally. I'm pretty much out the door.
It's incredible how mentally organized, if that's the right word, that Fran Duffy is, where he puts everything together. He has everything set days in advance of when we're going to be at what time. Just excellent stuff all the way around, Fran.
Thank you, Alex. Appreciate it.
So I think that'll wrap things up for this preview edition, the Senior Bowl preview here on the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA. Thank you all for listening. We will be back with a recap podcast at the end of the week after the Senior Bowl has come to an end. But we will have wall-to-wall coverage here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com throughout the week. So for everything that you need to know from the Senior Bowl and how it relates to the Eagles, stay right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And for Fran Duffy, I'm Alex Smith. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch up with you after the Senior Bowl.